I talked about the dress of the high priest and how significant it was, the three articles of clothing. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about what you wear. And I know what comes to your mind right now, but it's not what you're thinking. So if you turn to Isaiah 43 and verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. To me, that's one of the most incredible scriptures in the Bible, because not only does God wipe out our sins, like it says in Colossians, Jesus said, you know, he blotted out our sins on the cross, but he doesn't remember them. I remember them. They plague me. They plague you. But there's no sense in bringing them up because he doesn't remember them. And then 1 John 2, verse number 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. We've got somebody who will come and take away what we couldn't take away. Not only for us, but for your neighbor. For your family. They just don't know it. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm laying a foundation. Verse number 19, familiar scripture, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, or in his place, be reconciled to God. And then our last scripture, if you'll turn to Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Genesis 3 and 21. I was saying to my wife, you know, Adam did not name his wife Eve until they sinned. Until then, they were both Adam, you know? And then verse 21, it says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. I've said this, and I don't have scripture for it, but I really believe that when God made Adam and Eve, He put a shroud of light around them, and after they sinned, that shroud of light was taken away, and they realized we were naked. So they took off the righteous shroud of light, and God had to clothe them with something, so he killed something and made clothes for them to hide their shame. And then he died for us and covered our shame with his righteousness, if you will. So with Adam and Eve, this was the first of many robe changes that they would go through. And whether you know it or not, you've probably gone through a lot of robe changes. Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word. Touch it all. Make it alive, God. Lord, cause it to settle deep down into our soul. Allow it to remain in our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So here we are at Christmas. I put up the tree yesterday, still waiting for stuff. You know? In 1972, we built the house that we're living in right now, and we have a ceiling that's about 23 foot high. And then there's a balcony that overlooks the living room. And so when we had our first few Christmases, we bought Christmas trees that were about 23 feet high. And in fact, you had to decorate it from the balcony because it was just too hard to get to from the floor. This year, we have a tree about this high. They're getting smaller and smaller. Amen. But the love for Christ is getting bigger and bigger. So what is the real meaning of Christmas? We see all the lights, the decorations, the family get-togethers, and the presents. Many people who don't even recognize who Jesus is or that he is a Savior, well, they celebrate the day and the season, and they celebrate it without God. But let's define what Christmas really is. Christmas is the name we give to that robe-changing moment that altered the fabric of history. God took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. A robe change, if you will, from heaven to earth, to wit that God was in Christ. John 1 and 14 tells us, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God came to earth in the form of man to become our sacrifice for sin. There was no other option for God. Wrapped in tight strips of cloth as a baby, the first Christmas gift yawned and peeked into the faces of humanity. He was invisible, now became visible. The God and creator of heaven and earth came and tabernacled himself in flesh, so he could walk among us and teach us and show us what we are supposed to be. A garment defines a person's role in life. It really does. I said to my wife this morning as we were in line at Starbucks, 80% of the women who walk in here look exactly alike. They're wearing exactly the same thing. We identify people by what they wear, policemen and nurses and UPS persons and even Christians are defined by what they're wearing. And as Christ came into the world, he took on a new identity as part of his creation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. But then 33 years later, those he came to save put him on a rugged cross. And as he hung dying on the cross, soldiers gambled for only one thing, and that's his change of clothes. After his death, the body was again wrapped in strips of cloth as it was at the very beginning. 3 days later, Jesus reappeared with a new robe fashioned as his glorious body. Another robe change, if you will. Now able to walk through walls, appear and disappear, whatever he would want. A body that 40 days later would ascend up into heaven. They were all types and shadows of the robe changes that we would go through if we follow his word. Philippians 3 and 21 tells us one day we will have a body such as his. It too is our final robe change. But we have to go through many robe changes before we get to the final robe change. It says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we're in a process of changing continually, and we can't get comfortable in one stage that God can't promote us to another stage. Had it not been for the dramatic upheaval in God's becoming flesh, we would have no one to plead our case for sin. If Jesus would not have experienced that earth-shaking, robe-changing moment, we would have no way of having salvation whatsoever. And because of our God taking off the robes of heaven and putting on the robes of flesh, we have hope when we put off our own earthly robe and put on a glorious body. We get too comfortable in this flesh. We pamper it. We want to make every provision for it. And Paul says, I beat it up every day. And if I don't put this flesh under subjection, I myself, even after preaching to all of those, could be a castaway. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians 5? Starting in verse number 1. Paul's saying to the church at Corinth, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle or residency were dissolved, we're talking about the body that we're living in, we have a building or structure of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The process is this. I see these young kids running around with boundless energy. But then when one gets to 73 or so, now all of a sudden you're limited, and in the morning it's a little harder to get up and bound into the kitchen and all of those things you need to do. Well, that's God's process, you see, because these bodies were not meant to be eternal. They're just a window of time, if you will. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house or dwelling, which is from heaven. Oh, God, help us! If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life, looking forward to the new body. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, or home in this brand new body. Hallelujah. Young people don't think about that as much as old people do. You see, so God allows us to go through volatile situations within our life to be able to transition from one robe to the next. There's a constant transition within our lives from one robe to another, one situation to another, and each is a promotion, if you will. Any of you guys have a favorite old shirt? Any of you? Yeah. Okay. Maybe it's only me. Generally, it's two sizes too big. It's been worn out in the elbows and in the collar. You know, they sell shirts now with patches on the elbows, but back when, they put patches on the elbows for a reason. They were worn out. Nothing fits like an old shirt. Nothing is more comfortable than an old shirt. Hallelujah. Can I get any witness? Is there a man in the house? My wife is always looking to throw out some of my favorite old shirts that have become very comfortable. Just last week, she was saying, let's just throw this one out. It's ready for the rag bag. We don't argue very often. When she says let's, she means her. You know? I can't tell you how many times I've rescued some of my old stuff. Just in the nick of the time. What's this in the garbage for? Yeah. You know, I don't suggest that we throw out her great-grandmother's dishes because they're old. You know? However, I hope when it comes time to make that final change, that I will not hang on to the robes of the past because I was comfortable with where I was. When the Lord says it is time to put on that white robe, I want to be quick to let go of this life and embrace all of the next life that God will grant to me. Ready for change. When we think not. I said Wednesday. I'm confident God's coming back on Wednesdays. Because when we think not, oh, God will come on a Sunday. You know? Ready or not, He's coming. Hallelujah. But in this life, many times God makes robe changes for us. Please hear me. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a young virgin who went from wearing robes of a virgin in Israel to the expanding waistline of an expectant mother. She wasn't ready for the robe change. She didn't even require it. But all of a sudden, she finds herself in a position where she's going to have to change clothes, change robes. Not only did this bring a change to her wardrobe, but her own people began to treat her differently because of how she looked. Anybody here go through a wardrobe change when you came into the church? Because now you look different, and as a result, the people that have been around you don't understand you because of the wardrobe change. Garments define our roles in life. Hallelujah. We don't look the way the rest of the world looks. They advertise who we are and what our lives value. Joseph, Mary's betrothed husband-to-be, balked at the idea of identifying with a pregnant woman before marriage until an angel told him to put on his new robe. It's going to be a different position for you. Forget about the criticisms. You and Mary have been chosen for a new set of clothes. One of the things as the church we have to do is forget about the criticisms. Don't try to explain why. Joseph, the patriarch, was the favorite son of Jacob. Favorite sons many times get many robe changes in their lifetime. You may be a favorite son of our Lord Jesus Christ, a favorite daughter. And so was the life of Joseph. At first, the robe his father gave him was a great sign of affection and of the identity that he had as a favorite son. And when his brothers grabbed it, he struggled to preserve his identity. I have this coat because my father loves me. His brothers ripped this coat off his back. The security and self-identity he knew as his father's most loved son. He then had a wardrobe change to a servant's garment. Oh no. God must have known he needed a robe change if he would be used later in life. Anybody listening this morning? There are going to be some robe changes in your life if you're going to be used by God. And yet we struggle. Oh no, I feel so comfortable in the robe and the clothes and the position I'm in. Joseph accepted the robe change, and as a result, there was another transition to captain in Potiphar's house. All right, take off this beautiful robe that daddy gave him, you know, and now I have to put on the servant's robe. And then from the servant's robe, he goes to captain of this very wealthy soldier in Israel. But Joseph's robe ripping moment, well, they just weren't over yet. Can we see the progression of garments God puts those through who he wants to use? I don't see anything where Joseph is complaining. It's not fair. Hallelujah. Next, his boss's wife took interest in Joseph and tried to disrobe him privately. And in this instance, he just let the robe off. It stayed there with Potiphar's wife. This time, Joseph didn't fight to keep his robe, but he kept his integrity. Because he now understood that when one robe gets ripped away, there is a better robe coming. Hallelujah. I could fill pages of robe-changing experiences that I've had in my life. You probably have too. Many of them I've resisted, but later I accepted knowing a promotion was coming. Didn't like the change. I just got that shirt broken in. I feel comfortable in it. It fits right. It's just home to me. Robe changes like job changes and loss of friends and false accusations and loss of loved one. Many times it makes our security just very tenuous and we're uncomfortable because there's something else that we have to put on that we never wore before. Everyone will go through these robe changes, but some refuse to give up the old to receive the new. It takes faith and it takes trust in God that this is going to be a good change in my life, and it is a prelude to something even better. No one, when the trumpet sounds, is saying, "Wait a minute, I feel just comfortable right here." I said Wednesday night, and I repeat myself a lot because I'm old now. Years ago, we had a service in the prison, and one of the guys, after I preached the first service, came up to me and said, "You'd like to change clothes, you know?" Because that change meant freedom to him. And I remember, and I've said this before as well, there was a new chaplain, came from Africa, I guess, and he wore the full African robe and hat, and you know, they're very lively colors there in paisley and all of that. And as I was preaching, I could just see his body language, like Yeah, I don't agree with this. So after the first service, I went up to him and I said, hey, I really like your outfit, you know. And he immediately thought that I was criticizing him for what he was wearing. And he said, oh, yeah? And I said, yeah, I've got one like that at home. And he said, what? I said, somebody made one of these when I was preaching in Africa. And he said, where in Africa? And I says, Nigeria. He said, where in Nigeria? And I says, Enugu. And he says, that's my home. Now, how in the world could God orchestrate that now I become his friend? He's looking forward to the preaching. Prison garments were probably not the robe Joseph had dreamed about. But it was in this unexpected robe of life that put him in the palace. And when the Pharaoh sent for Joseph, he didn't struggle with letting go of his garment this time. I can imagine the made-to-order robe that the rulers of Egypt now put on, the beautiful colors and the silk and the gold. These were just the most glorious robes that you can imagine in the most powerful country in the entire world. Better than the first robe, or the second robe, or the third robe, or the fourth robe. This feels good. We put on Christ. We struggle before we put on Christ. None of us know what the next change in life is going to bring. Perhaps weeping, but remember, tears of joy are soon to follow. God's kids do outgrow their old robes from time to time. You know? But God never throws something away without taking us shopping for a brand new season. Amen. You know? Are you in that changing room this morning? I know some of you are. You might be transitioning into a new marriage, adjusting to the demands of a newborn baby, dealing with raising teenagers. God help you. Suffering from an empty nest or caring for a failing loved one. All robe changes. You didn't ask for them. Perhaps a dramatic transition from job change that rocked your world. I'll never be the same again. Or perhaps a transition because you're out of work, or this is the first Christmas that you have without somebody in the family. And it's very uncomfortable. Whatever you face, remember, don't fight for the old ropes. When God has had picked something new for you. I can't imagine what went through the mind of Mary. Innocent of wrongdoing, yet guilty in the eyes of everyone that was around her. She could have literally been stoned to death because of the law and the position that she was in. Yet accepting the new robe of motherhood to deliver all of mankind. God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? So, what about you this morning? Are you in a transition period in your life, a time when you're not very comfortable any longer? Are you trying to hold on to that which you're comfortable with? And God's saying, why don't you try this on? This will fit. This will be good for you. You're going to look better. You're going to feel better. It's your choice. When kids grow up, they need some new clothes. And when the church grows up, there's a need for a change of garments. A 20-year-old does not look good in infant clothes. You don't wear grandmas anymore. Perhaps you could slip into a new outfit that the Lord has laid out for you. I remember my mother saying, just put it on. You're going to wear this. But Mom, no, you're going to wear it. I bought it. You're going to wear it. Hallelujah. Amen. He bought it. He wants you to wear it. Amen. And wear it with dignity, knowing that you are the apple of his eye. He dresses us up and he clothes us. We put on the righteousness of Christ and this whole world sees us. Hallelujah. We have a uniform. Yes, we do. We don't conform to this world. We're transitioned from this world because I'm a child of the King. And he's made a special coat for me. Hallelujah. A special anointing. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I don't know how many times in Bible studies and even in funerals I've said, if you consider that this life is just a dressing room for where we're going to spend eternity. We were in a store yesterday and my wife was trying on some clothes and I saw the dressing room she was in. It was like a 4x3 room. There were pins stuck in the wall, you know. Nice place to change, but I wouldn't want to live there. This is a nice place to change. But my life isn't here. We're pilgrims and strangers. And we're just here for the robe change, that's all. Amen. The put on Christ. And celebrate, like it says in Revelation, the 19th chapter. And we put on the robes of righteousness, white linen, all these stages bring us right back to the Garden of Eden when they were robed in a white light. People have said after the rapture, there's just going to be piles of clothes everywhere as people are raptured. Amen. We're not taking these garments. Fact of the matter is, we're not taking this flesh. Thank God for that. Because it wants to do me in every day, every day. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?